Chapter 10, The Roman Catacombs. It wasn't the weight of the Count's treasure that made Dangler's arms tremble. It was the excitement. He had hoped to become the Count's banker, but now he had a new idea. He would steal the Count's fortune.
"Take me to Rome," he called to his driver.
The carriage rode for hours. Dangler's dozed and dreamed about how he would spend the Count's treasure. At last, they came to a sign pointing to Rome. But the carriage turned in another direction.
"Driver," Dangler's called, "we're going the wrong way."
But the carriage didn't turn. Dangler's glimpsed a hooded figure in the driver's seat. A bandit? Had he been kidnapped? The carriage finally stopped and the door creaked open. The hooded man aimed a pistol at Dangler's.
"Get out," he said.
Dangler's climbed from the carriage, clutching the Count's treasure. They had reached the Roman catacombs, underground tombs cut deep into the rock. The hooded man pushed Dangler's through a dank passage and into a cramped cell. A door slammed shut behind him. Dangler sat in dismal darkness. He didn't understand why the bandit hadn't taken the treasure. After several hours, he banged on the door.
"At least bring me some food," he cried.
The door creaked open. The hooded man placed a plate of succulent roast chicken on the floor. Dangler's reached for it greedily, but the hooded man raised his pistol.
"This meal costs 10 diamonds, he said.
Dangler's hesitated. 10 diamonds was a ridiculous price. But he had no food and plenty of treasure. He threw the man the jewels and pounced on the plate.
"But you'll get no more jewels from me," he warned.
Dangler's was wrong. He resisted for as long as he could, but eventually his hunger got the better of him. He paid 10 emeralds for roast beef, and then 50 rubies just for water. After several days, there were only 3 diamonds left in the Count's chest. Those jewels were all Dangler's had left. 2 days passed, and he didn't eat. He grew weak and desperately hungry. He sunk to his knees, clutching his aching stomach.
"Why do you make me suffer?" he pleaded.
The door opened. The hooded man stepped inside the cell.
"Suffer," he said. "They're men who have suffered worse."
"No," Dangler's groaned.
"There are none."
"I'll show you one," the hooded man replied. Slowly, he peeled back the hood and revealed his face.
The Count of Monte Cristo," Dangler's cried.
The Count grabbed Dangler's collar. His eyes were red and wild with rage.
"No," he seethed. "I'm the man whose life you ruined 20 years ago. I'm Edmond Dantès."
Dangler's fell back in horror. He curled up sobbing and shaking.
"Now your life is ruined too," said the Count as he took the last jewels from his chest and strolled from the cell.
"Fernand," he whispered, "you're next."
Chapter 11, Challenge at the Opera.
2 days later, Albert Mondego stormed into the office of his friend Beauchamp. He waved a newspaper at the journalist.
"Have you read this?"
Beauchamp's face darkened as he read the report. The newspaper called Albert's father traitor. It claimed to have evidence proving that, years ago, Fernand surrendered a Greek fortress to enemy Turks for money. That was how Fernand had made his fortune.
"Where is your father now?"
Beauchamp asked Albert.
"Soldiers are searching for him all over Paris," Albert said. "You have friends at this paper, Beauchamp. Find out what evidence they have."
Soon after, Beauchamp returned. He had a worried frown on his face.
"The newspaper received a document," he told Albert. "It is the contract, agreeing the surrender of the fortress to the Turks. Albert, it's signed by your father."
"It is a fraud," Albert insisted. "Some unknown enemy is acting against my father."
"Not unknown," Beauchamp said. "My friend at the newspaper knew exactly who gave him the document. Albert, it was the Count of Monte Cristo.
The pair raced to the Paris Opera House, where Albert knew the Count would be that evening.
He pushed through the crowds and stormed down the aisle to where the Count sat, sipping champagne.
I demand an explanation, Albert said.
An explanation? The Count replied. At the opera? Surely this is not the place, my friend.
You're no friend of mine, Count. Are you an enemy of my father?
A gasp echoed around the stalls. Everyone watched as the Count rose. His glare was so fierce that Albert stepped back in fright.
I am, the Count said. I demand to know why, Albert replied.
I cannot tell you.
Then I challenge you to a duel. We will meet tomorrow morning with pistols. Good day, sir.
With that, Albert turned and strolled away. The Count straightened his coat and returned to his seat, as if he wasn't remotely bothered by Albert's attack. But he was. He had given the document to the newspaper, but in the hope that Fernand would challenge him to a duel, not Albert. Perhaps, though, this was a better revenge. He planned to kill Fernand, but if Fernand wouldn't fight, he would kill his son instead. On stage, the curtain rose, and the final act began.